Who was here last week? Yes. Who had that word on their mind this week about being overflowing, transformation of seasons, the dead things coming alive? Did anybody remember anything about that during the week? No. Okay, awesome. Well, that's why I'm going to remind you. Hey, Chair, we're not working. There we go. Awesome. We're going to get the whole thing now. Okay, cool. So if you remember, I spoke last week on transformation of seasons, not God taking a season and taking you like this and going up and down. He wants to transform where you're at now, make everything that was dead or dry in your life at the moment and make it come alive and make it be a permanent thing in your life. Not a transition of a season, as in just the seasons that you go through, as in you go through a bad season, a good season, a bad season. No. There's things that are happening in your life that God's going to start to transform for good. And the second picture I gave was taking the desert to this, and I wanted to. There was a moment in last week where I started to speak on. If you want to see this happen in your life, if you want to be a stream of living water, you need faith to make that happen. Faith without works is dead. And all week I was focused on this. What does that actually mean? What does that mean when I say that to these guys? How do they activate their faith so that the dead things in their life come alive? That they become rivers and streams of living water, that the Holy Spirit comes alive and overflows into their life and impacts the world around them. So all week I was focused on that, and I came up with this. Faith plus love. So the scripture says faith without works is dead. So I'm going to share with you today, hopefully, going to give you the key about how to use your faith to make the dead things come alive in your life, to transform those dry places in your life into the things that come alive, and for you to impact the world around you like that. So what does it mean when you say, I have faith in Jesus? So most of us here, if you don't, that's fine. Most of us here would say, I have faith in Jesus. So I want to paint a little bit of a picture of what that actually means. The Bible talks about when you say you have faith in Jesus, two things are going to take place. You'll stop hating your brother and sister and start loving people through faith. And the second thing is you'll begin to live righteously, choosing to love God with all of our heart. In these two things are the two commandments that Jesus gave. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your might, and with all of your strength. That's you'll begin to live righteously. And the second commandment, love others. It actually says the second commandment is like the first commandment. So love others as you love yourself. And that's what I wanted to speak on today. Next week I'll jump to point two. But you'll stop hating your brother and sister and start loving people through faith. So when you say I have faith in Jesus, it should actually look like something. You can't just say it and expect people to believe it if it doesn't look like something. It has to look like something. So I'm just going to go through what it actually looks like and how that impacts your life. And then in turn, how that makes the dead things come alive around you. So week one, loving through faith. And the first point, what does love mean? What does it look like? How is it displayed? How does God... Because there's lots of different definitions of love in the world. Lots of different definitions. But how does God explain it and how did he display it? James 4, 7 to 10 in the Message says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't know love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. And not that we were once upon a time loved, not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with Him, with God. My dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us and His love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. So this pretty much wraps up what love is. And if you look through a lot of the New Testament, it explains a lot of these sort of things. So it's essentially saying that God is love. That's the first thing. And without knowing God, you can't truly know what love is. You've never experienced God. And if I say that I love somebody but I don't know God or love God or know God's love for me, I'm not really fully in tune with what love means. There's something else going on. So the Bible also says that it's a sign that a sign of your salvation is your love. The way we know we've been transformed from death to life is that we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know very well that eternal life and murder don't go together. God is love, and Jesus cleared the way for relationship and a display of love. When we love each other, the experience of God dwelling in us is alive. So this is saying that God displayed His love through His Son Jesus. He said, this is what love looks like. Love looks like this. That a God who created everything loves you so much that I'm going to send my Son, who is God, to die for you. I love you so much. So the Bible talks about if you love somebody, you would give up your life for them. You would lay down your life for them. You would go to that extreme. You love them so much. And it also says that if you hate other people, if you hate your brothers and sisters, then you don't have any love in you at all, because there is no hate in heaven, there is no murder in heaven, and the two don't fit. They cannot coexist in the same place. Love and hate do not, in terms of your brother and sister, do not coexist in the same place. So I can't say, hey Mike, I love you, but I really hate you. I hate you, Mike. Yeah, I can't do that. I can't do that if I have God. If I say I love God, so what I'm saying is, if I say I love God, I can't say to Mike, I hate you. Because the two do not go together. God is saying that if you love, you will love people and you will love God. And you cannot separate the two. You cannot separate the two. And the way that you prove it is that you lay your life down for that person. Because that's the way God displayed it. He doesn't just ask us to love each other. He did it Himself. So this is what love is, and God is, in essence, love. Everything about Him displays that. Everything about that displays that for you. At every moment, He's displaying that for you. When I was standing there just in worship, and this is how He expressed His love for me. I'm standing there, and He showed me a picture of Him in the Garden of Gethsemane when He was sweating blood, refusing sin. And He was saying no to the devil and saying, I'll go to the cross because of the joy that was set before me. And the joy that was set before Him is you and me. And I saw it. I saw Jesus' face up close, and He said, Jay, you are before me. In that moment of Him refusing sin and being under so much pressure, He said, you were on my mind then. You were on my mind. And I was like, whoa. I was like, wow, God, you were thinking of me way back then. I was on your mind, and so were you. You were on His mind when He was refusing that, when He was suffering, when He was about to go to the cross. You were on His mind because of the joy that He knew that doing what He was going to do would bring to your life. Man, it just hit me. It just hit me this morning. I was like, wow, God, you are so awesome that you did that. I haven't refused sin to the point of bleeding. I haven't. I haven't, you know, when you're like, oh, I shouldn't do this. I haven't refused it to the point of bleeding. He has. And He's like, He did it because of me, because I was on His mind. And so were you. That's how incredibly He loves you. That's what love is. Next part, what is faith? Hebrews 11 says, Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen, and it has substance. Faith has substance. It's not just an idea that I throw out there and it has no substance to it. I have substance. This has substance. This microphone has substance. You can't just walk around saying, I have faith, and it have no substance. And it's the evidence of the things not seen. I'm going to try not to jump ahead of myself. So when you put faith and love together, what does it look like? James 2:14-17 again says, faith without works is dead. So what does it look like? Just in your own heads, just right now, what do you picture it to look like when you put your faith and love together? James 2:14 says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? Let me give you an example of that. So if I see a guy who's on the street and he's hungry and we're wearing dirty rags and all this sort of thing, and I walk up to him and I say, be clothed in Christ and may the Holy Spirit fill you up to overflowing, and then I walk away and I don't actually put clothes on his back or put something in his belly, my faith is just words. It has no action to it. It doesn't display what I really believe. It doesn't display that at all. Even when Peter went up to the guy who he was asking for money just before he went into the church, and the guy was asking for money and Peter said, I don't have money, but what I do have, I'll give to you. His faith spoke something out. He said, I'll give you Jesus, which is more valuable than anything that you need. Get up and walk. He gave him something. His faith had substance to it. His faith had substance to it. So we need to be a people that has faith, that has substance to it. And it's the evidence of the things that we hope for, which is Jesus, the unseen God. We don't see Jesus, but we hope and we know that he's coming back. And the evidence of that is what we do with our faith. So if I walk past this guy and my faith says, hey, awesome, Jesus loves you, I need to show it to him with something, either feeding him or a miracle or whatever happens. Because the evidence is that he gets up and walks. The evidence is that I feed him with something or I put clothes on him with something. Jesus loves you and here's the evidence. It's displayed through me. Your actions prove what you believe. Your actions prove what you believe. The Bible says that we're ambassadors for Christ. We spoke about this once before, ambassadors. Everyone knows what an ambassador is. Somebody who represents a kingdom, a country. We represent the kingdom of God. And everywhere we walk, we represent that kingdom with us. And it's not just a kingdom with words, but it's a kingdom with power. It's not just words. So when we are ambassadors and God is making his appeal through us to that person in front of us, we're an ambassador. He's making his appeal through us. He sees that person who's poor and he says, go up and tell them about the kingdom of abundance. Make the appeal that I want through you to them. Go and tell them how much I love them, and not only tell them, but show them. Show them. Bring the kingdom right to them. This is what our job is. This is what it means to put faith and love together. So let me just put it really simply. Faith and love put really simply. Your faith is displayed in your acts of love. Your faith is displayed in your acts of love. You display Jesus and what you believe about him in the way that you love people. It is one of the most powerful things God has given to us, is his love. The Bible talks about it everywhere. The Bible talks about it in Corinthians. You can go around healing people. You can go around casting out demons. You can go around being the best at anything in his name. But if you don't have love, it's nothing. It's worth zero. But if you have love and none of those gifts, it's worth everything. But I can guarantee you that if you go to express that love, those gifts will flow. Because that's the evidence of his kingdom, are those gifts. Your faith is displayed in your acts of love. If you say you have faith in Jesus and what he's done for you, then your faith pushes you out into intimate encounters and displays of love with God and others. Your faith pushes you out into encounters and displays of love with God and others. So the first point is you don't know love if you still hate your brother and sister. You turn and you start to love your brother and sister. You can't have one without the other. You can't. And what your faith does is when you're standing there and you see that poor guy on the side of the road, your faith stands there and says, it lifts up and it says, do something about this. Do something about this. You have the kingdom of God living inside of you. Go and show my love for that person, however you can. And what happens is that you'll start to encounter God in those moments. That's where you encounter God. That's where God is. In those moments where you're loving other people, that's where he is. You will encounter him in powerful ways. I just want to share a testimony on that. I don't know, I'll tell you the quick version, and I'll tell you what happened last night. Does everyone remember the... Just lift up your hands just so I know how much to explain. The testimony where I went to the restaurant and the lady I gave a prophetic word to about... And I prayed for the guy, Philip, with cancer. Do you remember? I prayed for this guy. Not all of you. So what happened with me, I went to this restaurant with the purpose of praying for a guy who has terminal cancer, who's a really good friend of Kelly's. And I'd never met the guy before. And he's 73 years old. And I just was praying for a long time to meet this guy face to face. I wanted to share God with him. And the waitress came up and God said, ask the waitress her name. And I asked her name and it led into this prophetic word. And the waitress was all like, oh, God sent you here. This is amazing. I can't believe this. I felt the opposite and God sent you here. And anyway, so I ended up praying for Philip because he was sitting there. I said, Philip, can I pray for you? He said, yes. And I got up and went around and went behind him and was saying some things in his ear. I can't remember fully the things that I was saying to him. But I saw him again last night at this birthday party. And he came up to me, where he was sitting next to me, and he put his arm around me, and he said, you led me back to Jesus. You led me back to Jesus. And it's amazing. It's not even the amazing part. But he said, I haven't told anybody this story, but when I was 12 and a half years old, I actually saw a vision of Jesus. Jesus came and he showed himself to me. I saw him face to face, like as in a vision of him. And he told me some things. But one of the things he told me was, I was special. He said, I was special. And when you prayed for me on that day, you said in my ear, you are special. And he said, no one has ever said that to me in my life except for you and Jesus. And I knew it was you. I knew it was Jesus. When you said that prayer over me, when you said I was special, all of a sudden I remembered that vision of Jesus when he came to me, and all of my fear about dying just left, and I knew that Jesus loved me, and I knew that when I was going to see him, whether I survived this cancer or not, I'm going to be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven, and I'm just so happy that he brought you along. My faith for Jesus pushed me into an encounter with this guy. And I encountered God and I encountered love for Philip. And in return, do you know how I felt? And I'm sitting there, I was all excited. I was like, God, I'm so privileged that you chose me to go. You showed someone yourself and you chose me 60 years later to go and tell this guy that you loved him. Wow, that is so cool. I can't believe you chose me to do that. That is so cool. And Philip is like, I said, so Philip, you're not afraid of dying anymore. I said, no, absolutely not. It was just an amazing thing that happened to me last night. But if what would happen if my love didn't motivate me to do that? If I wasn't desperate to share my love, God's love, my love with Philip, a man I'd never even met, because I knew that Jesus loved him. My faith pushed me out into an intimate encounter and a display of love with God and with others. It was cool. Galatians 5:6 says, if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but only faith activated and expressed in working through love. What this is saying is that religion has nothing to do with this. The only thing that matters is if our faith is activated and expressed and working through love. This is the thing that's on God's mind. He's like, do you believe me? Show me. Show me through your acts of love. Show me that your faith pushes you out. Don't just be a person who says, I believe, and does nothing. Because that is dead faith. It's dead. Man, his love just forces us out into this amazing place. Everything is wrapped up in this. Everything. Even honor God and make disciples. Honor God is live righteously. Make disciples. Love others. Everything is wrapped up in this. Anything to do with your workplace and your calling and where you're falling short or anything like that is all wrapped up in these two things. It was the two commandments that Jesus gave. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your might. And the first is like the second. The second is like the first. Love others as you love yourself. It's the same thing. It's wrapped up in all of this. Honor God, make disciples. It's wrapped up in all of this. If you're not enjoying your life, if you're not enjoying your work, if you're not enjoying your marriage, if something isn't sitting right, if you don't have provision, if you don't, everything is wrapped up in this. Love God with all of your heart. And then go out and use that faith to love others. And out of that love, you'll encounter God and the things that you need. And the joy that you're looking for. You'll start to love your work. You'll start to get up in the morning and love going to work. Because you're like, I just have an opportunity to encounter God and the love for others. And love for others. And through that, I'm going to find fulfillment in God in my life. It'll push you out into unknown territory. There's a whole lot of biblical background. The father of faith did this, Abraham. He went out into unknown territory when God said go. He went out into places he had no idea where he was going. But because he believed God, he walked it out. He went. It should push you out into unknown territory. But you go with the one who you do know. You're going out into places that you don't know, but you're going out with the one who knows you and you know fully. So there's no need to be afraid because you've got the promise with you. You've got the promise of abundance. Abraham stepped out because God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to give you the promised land. And Abraham's like, it doesn't look like it, but I'm going to go. I'm going into this barren wasteland, but I'm going to go because God's made me a promise. I'm going to go. I'm going to prove my faith in you, God, and I'm going to go into an unknown territory. It should push you into unknown territories. Do you feel like, when I'm sitting here talking about this, do you feel like you're living like this? If not, your fear is outweighing your faith because you don't fully know who's with you. You don't fully know how much He loves you. Once you get a hold on how deeply and how incredibly He loves you, it pushes you into this place that says, I'm going to step out into this unknown territory. I don't know what's going to happen when I tell this person that Jesus loves them. I don't know what's going to happen when I take this person who's sick some food. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God's asking me to do something. I don't know how it looks. I don't know how they'll respond, but I know God did it for me when I hated Him, and look at the result. I'm going to do it anyway because I know who walks with me. The God who created everything lives inside of me. He created the universe. He's so powerful. That same powerful God who loves you so deeply, who knows you so intimately, says, I want to work through you and into other people. Step out in faith. Step out because you know this, because you know this about me. So if you feel this way, if you feel maybe some conviction that your life isn't living up to this standard, I have some good news for you. Recalibrate your faith through love. This is how God recalibrates me when I'm in times of frustration to do with my promise or my calling or things don't look like the way they should. And you know, as a church, we have big vision, as Ryan has big vision on his heart about seeing this place full and overflowing, and so do all of us. And sometimes when you walk in here, you think, oh, what's going on here, God? And some frustration. Look, I'm just going to be honest with you. It happens in your workplace. It happens with your family. It happens in your marriage. Why aren't things looking like the way you said they would look, God? Maybe I just need to say this prayer or do this or do that. You know what he says to me? He says, how is your love? How is your love for the people that I've given you? How is your love for the people around you? If you want to see this place full, love people well. Love the people I've put in front of you well, and out of that, this place will get full. I will take you on that journey because of love. Because of my incredible love for you and my incredible love for this nation. I want love to overwhelm everything about what you do. So when I need to recalibrate my faith, am I pointing it in the right direction? I have to ask myself, am I loving the people in front of me well? So if you are not enjoying your work, think to yourself, where's my love at? Where's my love for the people that I'm working with? Where's my love at for the people in my family? I have to do it with my kids all the time. I have to say, am I loving my kids well? I want to see them walk in the promises of God. I want to see them grow up to love God with all of their heart and all of their might. And we all get frustrated with our kids. And sometimes I have to stop and say, am I loving them well? Am I loving them the way that Jesus loves me? And it'll shift everything. All of a sudden, everything will shift. You start to remember the promises of God and you trust Him in it. So to recalibrate, you focus on Jesus. You focus on Jesus and what He did for you. So you remember Jesus on the cross. You remember that your sins are forgiven. You remember that you are righteous. You remember that it's by grace that you've been saved. That you're always welcome back into relationship with Him. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong or where you've gone wrong or where you stuffed it. It doesn't matter. Jesus paid the price. Everything negative in your life was nailed to that cross. Every negative thought you have about yourself was nailed to that cross. Everywhere you failed, nailed to the cross. Your failure from yesterday, today and tomorrow, on the cross. It's done with. It's the finished work of the cross. It's all done with. If you need to be refocused, remember Jesus on the cross. But not only that, remember Jesus alive. Remember who you are, your new identity in Christ. That you are saved, that you are a son and daughter of the King. Son and daughter of the King of Kings. How amazing is that? That you are loved, that you are welcomed in His presence all the time, that you have power and authority, that you have a love on your life that it just far exceeds anything else in this world. You've got to remember your identity and who you are in Jesus now. You need to focus on Him constantly. The Bible talks about it all the time. Focusing on Jesus. Focusing on Jesus at the cross, and more importantly, focusing on Jesus and your identity now. And what it does is this. It fills your love tank right back up. He's constantly and relentlessly chasing you down with His love, even when you fail or fall short in your love. Know that He's the God that spread out the entire universe and He lives in you. Know that when you stop and let Him embrace you with His love, you'll then be able to overflow with love for others. So I have to constantly recalibrate my love, especially at times of frustration when I don't think things are going the way that they should. This is the process I go through. What does my love look like? As soon as I get hit with Jesus' love, man, everything's okay. I know who I am. I know where I've been. I know where He's taken me from. And all of a sudden, I get filled with His love, and I'm like, oh, forget about my mistakes of yesterday. Forget about where I went wrong. Forget about that this church isn't 800 yet. Man, I just want to love people. I don't care who comes today, if it's 3 or 4, whatever. I'm just going to love people. You recalibrate yourself when you focus on Jesus. It's an amazing thing to do. So when you do that, your frustration, focus on Him. Your faith will say, I can do this. After you have these encounters with God, I can love people because He loved me first. I can give my all because He gave His all first. I'll give my life for my friend because Jesus gave it for me. And I'll turn my fear into faith. When I start to remember what Jesus did for me, it gives me boldness and courage to say, because you did it for me, God, man, I want to do it for that guy. I want to do it for the guy I don't know, and I want to do it for the friend that I love. This isn't just talking about your brother and sister. It's talking about loving people in the world the same way. When you were an enemy of God, He died for you. When you were His enemy, it's not about us and them. It's about being ambassadors and going out and sharing our love through faith for other people. And when you need a recalibration and you need to, and the fear is even stopping you from doing that, you need to go and find out who Jesus is for you. You need to remember who Jesus is for you. And it will turn into this motivation where you say, I can do this. And I'm going to do this. Because I want to have encounters with God, and I want to encounter the love of God for other people. I want to see it in action. I want to see the evidence of Jesus in my life. When I walked away last night after speaking to Philip, I was like, Jesus, you are alive. Oh yeah. I just encountered God. I encountered Him through this guy. I mean, I think sometimes, man, I'm going out to save the world, and then Jesus pops up and does this cool thing and says, I love you too, Jay. I want to show you my love as well. And I'm like, this is so much fun. It is so much fun. That was 2 months ago that I prayed for him, and he called me on my birthday. Philip called me. I don't know this guy. He called me because he was like, I just want to tell you, happy birthday. I want you to know that somebody is thinking about you on your birthday. That is love. That is love that is God's love displayed through this guy. I met him once. Who wants those experiences? Who wants those encounters? They're for all of us. I am not set apart for these special moments. They are for all of us. Honor God, make disciples, all wrapped up in this. It's for all of us. This is what we're about as every nation. This is what we do. So when you say, I have faith in Jesus, this is what shall happen. This is what shall happen. So if you remember the word from last week, if you didn't hear the word from last week, have a listen. Because it's a prophetic word about what God's about to do in our lives as individuals and our life as a church. But this is how we have faith to do this. This is how we have faith to walk this out. We activate our faith and we display it through love. And then this is what will happen. Jesus said, he who believes in me, he who says he believes in me, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water. Continually. Not these seasons of up and down. There's going to be times where it feels like that. But the continual flow, and this refers to the Holy Spirit, the continual flow of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has promised to those who believe in him. So if you say, I have faith in Jesus, you should have the Holy Spirit continually flowing through you. And if you're struggling with that, go and remember what Jesus did for you. Go and remember Jesus' love for you, because he first loved you so that you can love. So if you're having struggles with this, you need to know that you need to discover something deep about Jesus' love for you. And then once you capture that, the overflow will come. And the areas in your life that are dry will start to get wet with the Holy Spirit. I was driving this morning and I was like, man, I feel like my life is just overflowing and covered with the Holy Spirit, with His goodness. Things aren't always perfect, but I just feel that. And I'm like, I want every nation Melbourne to feel this for themselves. I want them to know God's love so deeply that it overflows out of them and it becomes a life force behind everything they do. When they go to work, it becomes a life force behind everything that they do. It changes the environment around them. It's God's love that changes the environment around them. But you have to walk it out. You can't just say, I have faith in Jesus. Because there should be evidence, and Jesus says it here, from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water. So this is what faith and love equals. Taking these areas of your life and making it into this. Faith will push you out into intimate encounters and displays of love with God and others. You'll experience overflow. So if you took last week's word and said, that's for me, I want that in my life, today's word talks about how your faith will make that happen. Add your faith with love and it will happen. It'll happen. And it is so amazing. My experience with Philip, so amazing. My experience with Mike, so amazing. I love this guy. My experience with Evan and Joe, so amazing. With a lot of you guys here, it's so amazing. Because I get to encounter God through these people. I get to encounter God. I encounter God through these people and through you guys. Because I step out and I say, I want to see you move, God. I'm going to love this person. I want to see you move. And you can do it too in every single day of your life at your workplace, even when you don't feel like it. You feel like God's far away, go and find him in somebody else at your workplace. So I'm just going to leave that up there. Your faith is displayed in your acts of love. Your faith is displayed in your acts of love. So as you go away, just think, am I a person that professes to say, I have faith in you, Jesus? And if I do, is there evidence of that? And if there's no evidence, Jesus, help me to focus on you. Help me to know your love for me, your incredible love for me, so that I can be filled with this love and I can go out and put my faith into action. And just, I'm telling you, God's going to move in your life in a powerful way. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You guys will fill this church, not me. You guys will fill this church. Because you honor God and make disciples. Because you're going out purposely to live righteously, which I'll talk on next week. But you're going out to love people. And out of that, God will give you opportunities to share his love.